Joining us now is Danielle Sir, and we have Danielle on regularly on the program. She is Vice President of Integrated Marketing at Co Communications in Farmington. And Danielle, welcome to Front and Center.
Thanks for having me, Dan.
By the way, and we were commenting off air about that last story in the news, the study showing that companies that provide their employees with pizza at work on occasion get more productivity. How about that?
It's interesting. I think there's always some new study coming down the pike with some piece of data. It would be interesting to find a company that has actually followed every one of these studies to see what their results look like.
Well, you've got some interesting pieces out about business and employees and employers, et cetera. But one of your pieces, and I think this would be an eye-opener for a lot of these businesses who might get upset when their emails aren't opened, is why aren't people opening our emails? So how come they're not opening the emails?
It's interesting, Dan. There are a number of factors that can impact the performance of your emails. One of them being words that trigger emails to land in spam filters. Things like free, references to money. There are lists of hundreds of words that can actually increase the likelihood of your email landing in a spam filter. And that can be a challenge for a lot of companies, particularly those that offer a product that is centered around the value of cost savings.
So what you put in a particular email, the wording of a particular email could determine whether it goes to the person's regular box or spam, is that right?
It can. And another factor that impacts the open rate on emails is the name of the sender. Interestingly, there's data out that shows that the sender's name is actually more influential than the subject line is in determining whether or not someone will open an email.
So how do you essentially send out the correct email so that it doesn't get sent into a spam folder?
One thing that we always recommend to companies is that they do A/B testing with their emails. What that means is that you will actually send out two versions of an email, and through your email service provider can have it randomly determine who receives which version of the email. That allows you to send out two different subject lines. It also gives you flexibility if you want to experiment with how the content is laid out within the email. For example, putting a call to action or an offer, discount, or incentive at different places in those two communications so that you can see which performs better.
Uh-huh. Are there certain trigger words, regardless of the email, that would automatically send it into spam?
Not necessarily automatically, but definitely terms that center around discounts, incentives, and free items. Those do have an increased likelihood of being headed to the spam filter.
And why is that?
Unfortunately, those terms can also be associated with schemes or offers that are not credible. And that poses a real challenge for businesses because in many instances, they're being true to their brand and their product and service, but they're, you know, sort of being unfairly, you could say, flagged because of other spammers that are out there in the space.
And I'm also guessing that those could also be associated with, viruses, right?
Unfortunately, they can.
Yeah. But the subject line is very important, though. Is that correct?
The subject line is very important. While there is data that shows the sender's name is the most influential, the subject line really sets the expectation for people of what they can expect within the email. And some companies are actually going so far as to use personalized subject lines as one way to try and increase their open rates.
Another thing which I found very fascinating about the piece was that you better make sure that the email that you send out is mobile-friendly. Talk about that.
So, interestingly, more than half of people are opening emails from their smartphones. Data shows it's actually about 54%. And so you think about the user experience. You don't want people to have to pinch and zoom and flick through the content in order to be able to easily read it, to, you know, view images correctly, or to have situations where it, you know, you get those annoying little error messages that say things like image not available. And so it's really important to build your email so that it is, you know, mobile friendly. A number of the email service providers do have what they call responsive templates in their databases. And so you can use that tool to ensure that the email will be scaled in terms of size to the device from which it is being accessed. One thing people tend to overlook, however, is that while the email needs to be mobile friendly, you also need to be sending people to an end destination that is mobile friendly. If you haven't upgraded your website in some time and it isn't mobile friendly or responsive, you don't want to hamper the user experience by taking people from something that's easy to read on their phone to something that's really challenging to navigate. And there's actually data out from Google that shows if people have a negative web experience on a website, about 40% of them are going to go to the competition. So the last thing you want to do is write a great marketing email, get people to click through, to view your product, learn more about your service, or take action, have them get frustrated by your website, and then go scope out the competition.
Well, that's a great point. And a lot of these businesses that obviously have websites, and they should all have them in this day and age, you've got to make sure they are responsive, responsive themes on those websites so that you can open them up on your tablet, on your smartphone, in addition to on your laptop or desktop computers, right?
It is. It's critical, Dan. And interestingly, Google actually started back in April of this year penalizing companies whose websites are not responsive and mobile friendly. So that companies may actually be finding if they haven't upgraded their website in some time, it may be a little bit harder for them to appear in relevant online search results, which we all know can be very frustrating.
Oh, I mean, that is so crucial, and you've got to do so much as it is to make sure you get on that first page of Google search engine, right?
It is. It's a real challenge. Obviously, you know, there are organic tactics and organic rankings, and then those that are paid as well. But if your website is not responsive, that is just a critical flaw that needs to be addressed.
Well, and that is interesting, the fact that Google would penalize you if, in fact, your website isn't responsive, but with their algorithms, they can, right?
They can. Google's very powerful, and we're all just, always trying to figure out what the latest and greatest with them is.
There are people who get paid big money trying to figure that out, right?
Oh, indeed there are.
Talking with Danielle Sir, Vice President of Integrated Marketing at Co Communications in Farmington. Danielle, thank you very much for joining us today on Front and Center.
Thank you for having me, Dan.